The fourth part in this series, fourth and final part. Good news triggered by the lost. We've talked about that, how there is none so lost that they can't be found. Good news triggered by strangers. When we are meeting new people, strangers, when we feel scattered in this world, we see that as an opportunity to reach out to someone new. Good news triggered by the interested. We are interested in the interested, and we ask them, are you interested? And today, good news triggered by the hurting. Hurt no more. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. This is Jesus, that is. His words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, or an unclean spirit, some versions have. An impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. The New Living Translation of verse 35 there at the end. Then it came out of him without hurting him further. Without hurting him further. And I think I'll stop reading right there and pray. Father, may we be your hands extended to go to those that are hurting and tell them to hurt no more. Hurt the things that would hurt them, that they would hurt them no further. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The good news says hurting has gone far enough. The good news says we do not want people to hurt further. The good news says we want people to hurt no more. I've hurt in my life. I've hurt physically before. Physically, I've been hurt. Have you been hurt physically once or twice? It was a few years after we came here to pastor. I started hurting physically. I had a lump right here in my throat. My lymph nodes were swollen. It was hard as a rock. I went to the doctor and got a bad diagnosis, a wrong diagnosis, it turned out, but it made me afraid. I called a friend who knew about these types of things, and he walked me through it. I called my mother. Sometimes you need to call your mother if you can. She walked me through it, and he probably doesn't remember this. In fact, I'll guess he don't. I called Denny McElroy. Remember that, Denny? Nope. I called Denny McElroy, and he walked me through it. Maybe you've been hurt physically, and somebody had to walk you through that physical hurt. I've been hurt spiritually in the past. Maybe you've been hurt spiritually, where I just felt dead inside. This was many, many years ago, before I was even married. I just felt dead inside. It was almost, I couldn't even talk. I had nothing to say. I remember it was a summer. My sister, she helped me walk through that. She cared for me through that until I got through that dead place, that hurting place in my life. Maybe you're that way, or maybe you've been that way, where you felt dead inside. You were hurting spiritually, and someone helped you through that. I have hurt emotionally in my life. In fact, 2014, I'll never forget 2014, because it was an emotional roller coaster of hurting for me. And praise God for my wife. My wife entered that hurting, and she drug me through that hurting and drug me out of that hurting, because I never could have gotten through that on my own. Maybe you've hurt emotionally before, and someone had to come into that hurting where you were just emotionally just almost wrecked, and they drug you through that emotional hurting. I've hurt socially, relationally before. One time back in college, I had a bad breakup, and I felt like a social outcast, didn't feel like I fit in anymore, didn't feel like I fit in around people. I went to a church on a Sunday night, and they were serving communion, and I knew communion was a communal activity, a social activity to be done together, and I didn't want to be around anybody. I was having a pity party, if you will, but I was hurting as well. And that's the only time in my life I've ever not taken communion when offered to me, because I felt like a social outcast. A college friend, eventually would be a college roommate, Dave. Dave helped me, and he helped put me back together. Maybe you've been socially hurt, a relationship hurt, where you just felt like a social outcast, things were not going right, and someone helped put you back together. Now, ultimately, I praise God for seeing me through every aspect of hurting, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially. And I praise God for everything and everyone He used to help see me through that hurting. And I believe He will do that for you as well, and He will use you to see others through their hurting. So we know hurting includes, when we talk about hurting today, it includes the physically hurting, and also the spiritually hurting, the emotionally hurting, the socially hurting. They may be Christians, because I believe I was a Christian in every one of these hurtings, now that I think about it. Or the person who is hurting may not be a Christian, but we are called to help people that are hurting. Even if the person is a Christian, when we go to help them through their hurting, we may run into non-Christians who will see this and will see the love of God, even as we share the love of God and help the hurting who are Christians. Because we want the hurting to go no further. We tell the physically, spiritually, emotionally, and socially hurting, we tell that power, the power of hurting, that unclean spirit, you can go no further, and we tell the person to hurt no more. So let's look at what Jesus, the Word of God, has to say about this. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Number one, we believe Jesus has authority to tell hurting. Did I put hurting in quotation marks there? I meant to. Jesus has authority to tell hurting, you have gone far enough. I'm almost going to personify hurting today. I want to see it as a presence, as a power. So I will talk about hurting people today, but I'm also going to talk about hurting, quotation marks, as this unclean spirit, as this unclean power that hurts us. The hurting. It was the Sabbath. So naturally the Jews at Capernaum went to the synagogue. That's what they did. Some were sleepy that morning. They had a busy week at work. A couple of them there were irritable. They woke up and they didn't have any milk that morning for their Cheerios, and it was just upsetting. Some of them arrived and they had bickered and fought with their kids that morning. Some had arrived and they had been bickering and fighting with their spouse. Their wife had used their first name completely on them. So, some of them had been arguing with a friend in a relationship that week. But many of them were in a fine mood. This is the day the Lord has made, and they were ready to rejoice. They felt good. There was one man there in the back row, in the back pew, and the last theater seat, and he was hurting. A couple of people greeted him, and what was that guy's name? can't remember his name. I met him before. I don't want to call him out now. Ought to be embarrassing. So, hey, buddy, how are you? And he covered up his hurting fairly well. It was Sabbath, so naturally they went to synagogue. They come from various paths, various experience throughout the week. They had a different emotions, different mental states that they had come from, but they came. And they expected to listen to the scribes read from the Torah, to sing the Hallels, the Psalms, to sing the doxologies, and then they expected to go home and have the feast day meal at noon. That's what they did week after week after week on every Sabbath. It was Sabbath, so naturally they went to synagogue. But on that particular Sabbath morning, a traveling rabbi, an out-of-town rabbi, was there, Jesus of Nazareth. It was in the bulletin. Today's guest speaker will be Jesus of Nazareth. And you know how it is when there's a guest speaker that day. You go, oh, no, are they going to preach too long? Are they going to be boring? What's this guy going to be like? You know how it is. You know. So Jesus started to speak. And there was something striking about the way Jesus spoke. And it wasn't just his ideas were fresh and his vocabulary was fresh. It wasn't simply that he was a great orator. There was something in his very presence. It made you want to sit up a little bit straighter in your seat. Maybe even lean in a little bit. Somebody can lean in. Yeah. What's he got to say? Say, I'm not leaning in. You're not Jesus. All right, that's fine. I'll go back here. He had authority, the word says. Now, usually when they had a guest rabbi speaking, they didn't speak with authority. They would always say, so-and-so said, this rabbi says, and this rabbi says, and this rabbi says. It would be like reading the footnotes of a book. And so-and-so said, and this is what so-and-so said, and so-and-so said. They spoke with someone else's authority. But not this Jesus. He comes along and says, I say to you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news. Today this word is fulfilled in your hearing. He would even do that with the Bible. You have heard it said. You have heard it said, but I say to you. Whoa, what's this guy? He's speaking with authority. He was proclaiming to be the very message that he was speaking. And they were just starting to realize that something extraordinary was happening when all of a sudden somebody yelled out from the back of the church. Everybody turned around. We know who you are. Have you come here to destroy us? Usher needs to do something about that. This hurting man, we couldn't even remember his name. What was his name? What was his name? What was his name? That guy who had covered up his hurting so well, he couldn't cover it up anymore. The hurting, that power, that presence, if you will, the unclean spirit cried out. When real authority is present, hurting will cry out. I've heard many of you come to me before and say, I don't know why I go to these things and they always tell me there are problems and it just don't seem like they do it to anybody else. They just do it to me. I get around them, they start telling me this and telling me this and telling me this and crying out about this and crying out about this. I think, not all the time, but maybe it's because you've been around Jesus and that authority in you. As you preach the word, as you live the word, they see it as somewhere that they feel safe, that where they can find help, where they can cry out because they're hurting. That's good. I like that. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? Have you come here to wipe us out? Yes, he had. Because Jesus has authority to tell the hurting that power, it has gone far enough, and he tells the hurting to hurt no more. Number two, hurting, that power, that presence, that unclean spirit. Hurting wants to keep hurting. Hurting wants to keep hurting. The New Living Translation says it hurt him no further. It means it had been hurting him. That unclean spirit, that demonic presence, that demonic power had been hurting him. The things that hurt us in this world, physically, spiritually, emotionally, socially, the things that hurt us in this world, they don't have a shelf life. You think they would run out. You would think they would expire. But the pain just doesn't magically go away. You've heard it says, time heals all wounds. I don't think that's true. I don't believe that. Our wounds are healed when they are covered correctly by the right treatment, not when they are covered up by masks, by disguises, by running. Our wounds, our hurts are healed when they are dealt with correctly. Now, Jesus knew what an evil spirit, an unclean spirit, was capable of and what it was like. He knew evil can come in different shapes and different forms. Self-destructive habits, addictions, dysfunctional conflicts, patterns of negative thoughts, patterns of negative behaviors, temptations, sin, division, destructive actions. They are unclean. They are opposed to the things of God. They are opposed to love, to joy, to peace, to patience, to kindness, to goodness, to gentleness, to meekness, to self-control. They are opposed to mourning. They are opposed to being pure in heart. They are opposed to mercy. They're unclean. And they're a spirit. They get their source from the spiritual realm. We're always looking for a natural cause. But this came from a spiritual realm, an unclean spirit. And these will not stop. They keep hurting. Now, every person, Christian or non, will suffer in this world. But for the Christian, it is the suffering where we imitate Christ, who suffered for us. In this type of suffering, we become more like Jesus. So everyone will suffer. What we are talking about today is not suffering to be like Christ and be formed into his image. We're talking about this power of hurting, this, if you will, hurting as a presence, as a power. And that power means to destroy us. That hurting is not for our good. You meant it for evil, but God used it for good. That is suffering. All things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's suffering. But we're talking about hurting, which means for our downfall, for our destruction. Well, how do you know the difference between suffering and hurting? Here's the difference. If God receives glory, and it is for our good, and forms us into the image of God, it is suffering. If hurting receives the glory, and it is for our downfall, then it is hurting. If God receives the glory, it's suffering. If hurting, if the pain, if the heartache receives the glory, then it is this demonic power. It is hurting that we are talking about. I guess the best case, we'll give an example. The last several months, we've seen people suffer in our church. We've watched them suffer. And God used this, not caused this, but used this to form our dear friends into the image of Christ. They suffered, but they became like Jesus. And God received the glory, and it was for their good, and they are suffering no more. Now, at the same time, we've seen people hurt. You've seen people hurt, hurting in your family, where that demonic power is bringing them down, and the only thing that is receiving the glory is the hurting, is the physical, the social, the relational, the emotional hurting. Suffering forms you into the image of Christ. Hurting forms you into the image of the hurting, into that power. The only thing that is left is the hurting. But I'm here to tell us today, we are not our hurting. We are not the unclean spirit. It has to come out. In Jesus' name, we tell the hurting, it has gone far enough, and we tell those who are hurting, they can hurt no more. Number three. The hurting, again, put quotation marks around that. The hurting can recognize Jesus. unclean spirit can recognize Jesus. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. I know who you are. We sometimes see people that are hurting, and we see it as a closed door to the things of God. I would like to tell them about Jesus. I would like to tell them about God, but in their condition, they may be closed off to the things of God, but I believe it is just the opposite, because that hurting recognizes when there's authority present, and it may be just the opposite. It may be the open door. The hurting may be just the door we need to tell them the good news and to stop the hurting and tell them to hurt no more. Now, this won't happen with everyone, but many times it will. It will be an open door for us to tell them about Jesus. When they are hurting, they've tried everything else. I'm sure this man had tried everything else. And now when real authority came to church that day, he wasn't going to miss his opportunity. And the hurting, "We know who you are," cried out, and it brought the man with him. And that's when Jesus was able to set him free. You say many want to blame God for the hurting. That's true. I've seen that. Most of the time, it's those who are close to those who are hurting that want to blame God. How could they let my friend go through this? How they let my husband, my wife, my spouse? And that can happen as well. But the people that are hurting from this hurting usually only focus on, from what my experience, usually only focus on the hurting itself, to blame anyone else but the hurting. You get in so much pain, it's this pain's fault. You get in so much trouble, it's this trouble's fault. That's why I'm hurting. And you start looking for answers. You start looking for some authority that can tell that hurting to hurt no more. So our business, we're in the Jesus business, should be to spread Christ's fame and Christ's name in every place we go to those who are hurting physically, spiritually, socially, relationally. We keep spreading the fame of Jesus. To call on Him in behalf of those diseased in body, mind, and soul. To use our influence to bring the hurting to Jesus and Jesus to the hurting. That His hands may be laid on those and they may be healed and they may be helped. We're not sent into this world to just live for ourselves, but to glorify God and to do good in our generation. To tell hurting, it has gone far enough, and to tell people that they can hurt no more. I was in college, Bible college, and I went with a friend to get the oil changed in her car at a Jiffy Lube. We went inside the Jiffy Lube and we're waiting on the car to get the oil changed. And I'm sitting here, my friend's sitting here. There's a couple other college students sitting over here, and we're kind of talking back and forth. when a lady walks in. She must have been in her mid-30s, I guess. And this lady had on dark, thick safety glasses. And she sat down in the waiting room, and she sat here, and my friend was here, and I was here, and she started talking to my friend. And after a while, her eyes got accustomed to the light, and she took off these dark safety glasses. And when she did, you couldn't help but notice, she had scars under her eyes, cuts, stitches. They were swollen, puffed, different colors. And she started to talk to us. My friend asked her, said, "Oh, what happened?" And she said, "Oh, I had surgery a little over a week ago on my eyes." She told us the story. She said, "A couple of years ago, I was with my husband at a bar and we were drinking. My husband got into a bar fight with a man, and the man pulled a knife on him and stabbed him. And my husband died right there. I held his hand while he died, waiting on the ambulance to arrive." And she said, "It's devastated me." And she said, "For the last 2 years, I've done nothing but cry off and on, cry, cry, cry." And she said, "I cried so much, the tears would run down my face, and I'd wipe my face so much." She said, "I started to get bags under my eyes, and I started to look terrible." She said, "So last week, I went and had this reconstructive surgery where they fix my eyes the best that they can." Said, "I don't know if it's going to do any good." She said, "I still cry. I still cry all the time." And the whole time she's doing this, the Holy Spirit's tapping me on this shoulder going, "Tell her about Jesus." Oh, God. I'm at Jiffy Lube. "Tell her about Jesus." Oh, I don't want to. I'm at Jiffy Lube. I'm at Jiffy Lube. I'm at Jiffy Lube. So I made a deal with God. You shouldn't do this, but I did. And this is what I did. I said, "If you can get me in the seat beside her, closer to her, where my friend's sitting, I'll tell her about Jesus." And as I said that, my friend got up, walked across the room to get a magazine. I went, "Ah, hey." So I slid over in that seat, and I just went for it. I don't remember what I said. I just started talking 90 miles an hour, telling about how Jesus saved me, and he loved me, and he cared about me, and how I was broken and messed up, and how he came in and changed my life. And I started telling her about the cross and how Jesus loved her and died for her and had a good plan for her. And somewhere in there, I said something about Jesus being a healer. And she said, "Oh, I wish your God could heal me." I went, "My God can heal you, but not at Jiffy Lube. I don't know." She said, "He can?" I said, "Yeah, he can." "How?" I said, "I'll pray for you." Oh. So I got up right there in the middle of Jiffy Lube. We got a crowd now because I'm not quiet when I get excited. Everybody's looking, and the people stop changing our oil. I'm like, "Get back to changing the oil, you know." So I start praying for this woman. My friend's praying for the other two college students. They're praying. We're praying. We're praying for this woman to be healed. And I prayed the best prayer I knew how. And I say, "All right, Lord, I did it." So I sit back down. She put her safety glasses back on. Goes back to normal, just normal chit-chat. After about a minute or two, couple minutes, 5 minutes at the most, she has to get up and go into the restroom, and she comes back out with tissues. That infection in her eyes, it started pouring down her face. Just pouring down her face. And my friend was elbowing me like this. I said, "Jesus is healing her. Jesus is healing her. Jesus is healing her." I said, "I don't know." I'm scared. By the time we left that place that day, those scars were almost all gone. We told her about a church. We told her about where she could go. And I don't know what happened to her. But what I do know happened that day, she was hurting physically, spiritually, emotionally, and socially. But right there in that Jiffy Lube, Jesus said, "The hurting has gone far enough." And Jesus told her, "Hurt no more." So we need to get involved. You need to get involved. I'm not saying a Jiffy Lube. It may be. But how can you get involved? This is what God wants you to do. Number four. Be quiet. Come out. And hurt the hurting no more. That's what we're going to speak to the hurting, to that power, to that unclean spirit in the world today. We're going to tell it to be quiet, come out, and hurt the hurting no more. You know, this didn't happen every week at synagogue. I'm sure that didn't happen every week at Jiffy Lube. Be quiet, Jesus commanded, and everyone was glad he said it because that unclean spirit was disrupting the service. It was on the tip of their tongues. You can't tolerate that in church. But Jesus said something more. Be quiet. He told the hurting to be quiet, to come out of him. And that hurting spirit shook like a leaf, shook the man like a leaf in the wind, threw him down to the ground. And one last shriek, the man collapsed into a heap. And that hurting fellow was better. The fire had gone out of his eyes, and a look of calm was over him now. Jesus rebuked the hurting. Not the man, but the hurting, the unclean spirit. He told the hurting to hold its peace, be muzzled. And that's what we're called to do. Let me explain Christ to you a little bit. This is important. Listen. The Christ. We know two things. Well, we know lots of things, but these two things about Christ. Christ is fully God. Fully God, correct? So you and I, we are opposed to things that are opposed to God. So when we see things in this world that are opposed to God, the right way, the right time, wisely, we tell it to be quiet, to come out, and hurt the hurting no more. But the Christ is also fully man. Say amen. He's fully man. He's fully human. So we oppose things that are anti-human. We tell things that are hurting humans to be quiet, come out, and hurt the hurting no more. So to be anti-God is to be anti-Christ, and to be anti-human is to be anti-Christ. So we oppose things like abortion. I know it's controversial. Why do we oppose it? Because we believe that baby is a human and abortion is anti-human, so it is anti-Christ. We oppose drugs, legal and illegal abuse of drugs. Why? Because drugs are anti-human. They hurt humans. They destroy humans, so they are anti-Christ. We oppose disease. Because disease, anti-human, anti-Christ. We oppose racism and discrimination. Why? Because racism is anti-human, and if it's anti-human, it's anti-Christ. We oppose poverty. That type of poverty that just destroys people. Why? Because it's anti-human, and if it's anti-human, it's anti-Christ. It's the Antichrist. If it's opposed to God, if it's opposed to human, then it's anti-Christ. So we tell the hurting, that unclean spirit, to be quiet. Many times we mess that up and we yell at the hurting people and not at the hurting power. We yell at them and tell them to be quiet instead of the thing that is hurting them. And I know that those things can seem to overlap, but they are not the same things. They are separate. Jesus separated the man from the unclean spirit, and we must so as well. The person is not the drugs. The person is not the poverty. The person is not the disease. But they are being hurt by these things. So the unclean spirits in every shape, form, and fashion won't be able to bear the presence of Christ in us. And we tell it has gone far enough to be quiet, come out, and hurt the hurting no further. Superhero movies, popular today. Every movie, it seems like, every other movie anyway, is a superhero movie. What child hasn't wanted to grow up to be a superhero? I guess Timmy wants to grow up and be a superhero, be my guess. What adult doesn't want to grow up and to be a superhero? Why? Because those superheroes help the hurting. Those who are trapped or those who are too weak to help themselves. But instead of dreaming about things like that, we actually get to be the hero in Jesus' name, or point to the hero, Jesus, that is. We actually get to go out and help the hurting. When we see the hurting, you just gotta... I'm on. God's called me to step in here. God's called us to step in here and tell that hurting power, you can go no further. We tell the hurting, hurt no more. And I encourage you, I encourage myself, I encourage us to live for Jesus this week. When you see hurting people, do you see it as a call to help? Do you see it as a call to help? Number two, use wisdom. I'm not telling you to be belligerent. Use wisdom to quiet the hurting, that power, some quotation marks there, to make the hurting come out. So the hurting will hurt the person no further. So the hurting will not hurt the person any further. That's what we're called to do. I would like these four things to become a part of Living Hope Assembly of God. Wherever you go, here at church, out at Jiffy Lube, wherever you are, at the family reunion, at home, wherever you are, when you see the lost, there is none so lost that can't be found. When you ask yourself, who may be interested? And you ask them, are you interested? When you see strangers and you feel scattered and you want to just hide and not meet these strangers, you say, nope. This is an opportunity to reach out to someone new. It's completely different from me. And when you see the hurting, you say, I'm on. In Jesus' name, I'm on. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I can't do everything. I'm not telling you to do everything. But you can do something. And you can tell them to hurt no more. Hurt no more. And I pray that these four things become the heart of our evangelism here at Living Hope Assembly of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, make it so by your Holy Spirit right now. Would you just massage these things to our minds, to our souls. Oh God, you would use us wisely, confidently, gently, oh God. We would be like you, and when we see the lost, the hurting, the interested, and the strangers, oh God. Different ways. Some of these people, it will overlap. The lost will be hurting. The hurting will be lost. The strangers may be lost, oh God. But you would apply the things that we've heard the last 4 weeks to our minds, to our hearts, to our souls, and we would ask, are you interested? We would see that person who's completely lost, completely broken, and say, there's none so lost that can't be found. Gary Van Beek's been a Uber driver here lately. And just a lady got into the car the other day and he took her. She wanted to go to a liquor store. And she said she had problems with alcohol. And Gary said, I'm on. I'm on. And he just told her his story, what Jesus had done for him. And she said, can I take your number, you and your wife's number, and call you sometime and tell you how I'm doing and maybe get some advice? That never would have happened if he hadn't said, I'm on. Lord, may we in Jesus' name, empowered by the Holy Spirit, say, when we see these four groups of people, we're on. The good news triggered in our life. The good news triggered in our life, we're on. In Jesus' name. Would you just ask God to empower you to be able to live this and to do this in His name, by faith, by grace? Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, You would help us to do this, to be Your hands extended. And we thank You for it. We honor You for it. In Jesus' name. They begin to spread His name. So let's stand and just begin to spread His name through worship right now. In Jesus' name.
Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
The earth is filled with Your glory. When we go out, we're not going out alone. You're with us. The earth is filled with Your glory. The earth is filled with Your beauty, with Your word. We're not going alone. You're going with us. Everywhere we go. And we thank You. We honor You. We give You glory. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask that You would just bless Your people. That You would make Your face shine upon every person here. You would be gracious to every person here, and You would give every person here Your peace. Go with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.